Howdy, folks, and welcome to episode 2 of The Riley Factor featuring yours truly, A.C. Riley. If it sounds like there's a bit of background noise, it's because my studio is mobile today. I'm actually recording this while I'm in my car heading back from BCW Port Fish Days in Port Washington, Wisconsin, on my way back down I-90, heading back to La Crosse, Wisconsin, my hometown. I figured my studio, even if it's a little noisy in the background, maybe you can, maybe you can't hear it. I certainly can hear it because I'm here in the car with you. But ultimately, I mean, this is my base of operations. You know, I'm traveling all up and down the road here in Wisconsin, the Midwest, and this is as good as a studio as any until I actually can get, you know, a real-time studio. What better way to show that I am a wanderer, a journeyman, a professional wrestler than recording in the car? It just makes sense. So as I mentioned, coming back from BCW Port Fish Days, Port Washington, Wisconsin, I did say last week I was going to use this opportunity to do an interview with Stacy Shadows, and that's not happening. Card's subject to change, as it were. Plus, honestly, I was gonna kind of wait on the interview for Stacy Shadows anyway, because I was driving up here and I remembered that when I interviewed Sierra, she was talking about how Port Fish Days, that was kind of her first taste of independent wrestling. So kind of thought to myself, self, why don't you do a Port Fish Days type of episode? You know, you can recap your experience, and also you can talk with someone who got their origin story at Port Fish Days. It seemed to make the most sense. So ultimately, interview or no interview, I would have waited. But good news, I will see Stacy Shadows next week and ultimately should be able to get the interview with that. I'll explain why it didn't at Port Fish Days, because it's a pretty decent story. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. First things first, let's just recap BCW at Port Fish Days before we get anywhere further.
Weekend recap.
Pretty good lineup. Good draw, actually, for Port Fish Days. First time for me being here. But ultimately, it was a great turnout. You know, you get the mix of fans that are, you know, into wrestling. You get the BCW fans that are at the event. And then you just get the fans that like wrestling. And then, of course, you also get the drunks that wander in and think that they could do better. But regardless, it was at a, you know, great location. It was next to the marina. So you got a view of kind of the lake and everything. It was right on the blacktop. It's right by the main gate. So ultimately, it was a great scene. It was a great opportunity to really get your firsthand experience walking in the gate and seeing, oh, there's a wrestling ring. What's this all about? First match on the card, it was Porn Sass Peter Swans getting a victory over Onyx Andretti. It was a good way to kind of get the crowd started a little bit, just because, you know, Porn Sass, she's so talented. And of course, Onyx, he's come so far from where he started. I remember when he had his first couple matches, total deer in the headlights. And now you can tell he's getting more comfortable being in the ring. Ultimately, I think he still needs to figure out who he is. Who is Onyx Andretti? And I think once he gets there, I mean, he's got a great set of moves and everything. And of course, kind of figured that when he posted a video on Instagram of the Falcon Arrow that he was working on at camp, that he was ultimately going to try to use that today. And of course he did, and it looked great, but, you know, wrestling is more than just a couple fancy moves. You got to figure out who you are and show the fans that, and something that you can market. So I think, you know, this isn't any new news. It's not like I'm trash-talking Onyx, even though I kind of am. But, you know, this is something I've talked with them about. It takes time. Hell, it took me 10 years to do the whole Fallout gimmick. And even then, I'm still not, you know, 100%, you know, invested in it. It's just, it's more than I was currently doing, which was nothing. So ultimately, there's that. So if anybody knows identifying yourself as a character, it's me. And that's how I can relate to Onyx. Next match on the card, it was, I gotta remember this off the top of my head, because I'm not looking at any notes. Because as you can tell, I'm an extremely professional podcaster, and I don't need no stinking notes. And obviously I do. But second match, it was a tag match. The Beer City Bruiser and Sean Priest, the Unholy Alliance, as they were called, versus the Neon Warriors, Brandon Blaze and Tyler Sunday. I don't know why I decided to add a little bit of a grunge to my voice. When I don't know, the tag name seemed very 80s tag name style, but, you know, ultimately the fans really got behind it, so it's okay. It works out in the end. Pretty solid match between, four guys that really know each other really well. They're gonna give the fans, they're gonna give them entertainment, but they're also gonna give them, oh, this is what we're all about, a bunch of guys that, really know how to work, and, we can really give you a lot of good stuff. Sean Priest, his spine buster is amazing. Love his spine buster. It's one of my favorites. Beer City Bruiser actually had a couple, nice art moves to his arsenal as well. He had a slingshot wheelbarrow suplex. But of course, try to throw a little fancy accent on it. It's a suplex. But yeah, that looked great. And of course, his frog splash is very Art Barr-esque. The Art Barr, the guy that tagged with Eddie Guerrero, the guy that kind of passed the frog splash to Eddie G. Rest in peace, Eddie. But of course, that rest in peace Art Barr as well, because he's not around. He's no longer with us either. The frog splash is very Art Barr-ish, and I think that's really great. And especially a guy like the BCB himself doing frog splash in the first place is unheard of, and he gets so much height. It's amazing. Solid tag match there between those four competitors. Ultimately, it was Tyler Sunday and Brandon Blaze who got the victory in the tag team matchup. Moving on to the next match of the card, it was Aesop Mitchell taking on DWE. And of course, this is a good showcase of Thumper's Den Wrestling Academy. Two students going one-on-one. A good little comedy spot, something to get the fans just to laugh a little bit. And, still show some good wrestling. At one point, DWE's manager, I didn't catch his name, but he's one of the other young students as well. But he shoved his thumb up Aesop Mitchell's butthole and ran around the ring with it. And for a lot of you, that you probably identify with that, because it probably reminds you of your college days when you were doing weird stuff. But, it was interesting because it wasn't just one side of the ring to the other. It was literally all around, and you just couldn't help but just kind of chuckle just because, like, wow, they're really going all out with this. But ultimately, another good showcase for the two. And, of course, D.W. Ebe, he's a dweeb, as you might tell by the name. He's a good throwback if you're a fan of Revenge of the Nerds, because, of course, he comes out to the Lambda 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 song at the end of the movie, where they're doing the performance. He's just a weird guy. He's a dweeb. If I can remember, I'm going to try to throw Ogre's soundbite into this as well. After the match, it was Frankie DeFalco saying some stuff to the fans. Of course, Aesop Mitchell, he lost the match against DWE, so he's upset. He's calling Frankie out. He's saying that he has subpar competition, so it's not worth his time. And if he would challenge Frankie if this was 20 years ago, and they had a little bit of an encounter. That's a good rub for a guy like Aesop Mitchell, who's still young and everything, and. It's a good guy to really share the ring with is the guy that's your boss, your trainer, Frankie DeFalco. Talked about the, just having a great time and everything. That's all he needed to do in and out. His entrance music was a lot longer than his promo, and that's totally okay. Gets everybody into it, and that's the important part. Next up was a women's tag match, if I'm not mistaken. Stacy Shadows and Vanessa Azuri. I probably said it wrong, but not as bad as Chris Grubb at RCCW. So, Vanessa, you know who you are, and I do not know how to pronounce your name. But ultimately, Vanessa and Stacy versus Lina De Oro and Sierra. Good showcase of the women's division here in BCW, and of course showcasing the AIWF Women's Championship and the BCW Women's Championship as well, because both champions were on opposing sides of the fence. it was a really interesting contrast, just because of the idea that, you know, three of these girls, you know, they're rookies in the Thumper's Den, and then you got the mother hen, you got Stacy Shadows. So of course, ultimately, Stacy stands out because, you know, she's been around for so long, and she just was really the only veteran. But at the same time, you know, it was a good showcase ultimately. So that's the important thing. It's not like people were expecting a Divas match or anything. And of course, the women's wrestling scene has been blowing up, especially with the Mae Young Classic going on and everything. So ultimately, I think, you know, it was a good, another good showcase, another thing to show this is what you can expect at BCW. You know, if this is your first experience, and of course, if you're a recurring fan that comes to the fair, then you know what to expect, and you expected a very hearty women's division. But yeah, good match between those four ladies, and hopefully more to come down the road. Next match up was, I really should probably cut this out half the time because I'm trying to remember everything off the top of my head. And as you can tell, I'm doing such a great job at it. All right, next up, it was the de facto main event. And I'll explain why it was de facto, but it was the only title match of the day. It was Max Holliday versus Dysfunction. You know, two guys that know each other pretty well. You got, you know, Max Holliday that's, you know, really showcasing his championship skills. He's multiple champion, you know, he has multiple heavyweight championships across the Midwest, and a guy like Dysfunction that is essentially, as he calls himself, the BCW franchise and everything. It was a good little showcase. The match ended up being thrown out because of interference from the outside, turned into a battle royal. Lena D'Oro was the winner of the battle royal, so it was a good rub for her, and you know, it was a great, you know, showcase. Just because the door was open for anybody that wanted to compete in the Royal, and it was Lena that was underestimated as in sorts and eliminated Sean Priest. So there you go. You know, the crowd went home happy. They're excited. A couple people thanked Frankie after the show was over for a great time, and that's the important thing. You don't want to do a show and ultimately just, well, that sucked. Thanks for nothing. But thankfully, that was not the case. And, you know, fair shows is something that's actually something I kind of want to talk about. I love fair shows just because you can really, like, your fantasy booker cap can really just be put on tight. And you can really just do, well, I'd like to see this guy go toe-to-toe with this guy. Because it's a fair show. You don't really need to necessarily you know, support your storylines that are at your main venue, because usually you're a little bit farther away. In this case, Port Washington, it was about, you know, it was a little bit north of West Allis. I think maybe an hour. It was on I-43. But ultimately, it's one of those shows where 20 minutes, you know, maybe 20 minutes to an hour. So it was far away. It was on the interstate, so it wasn't like it was next door from the Knights of Columbus, but you know, fair shows in general, you can really just be like, well, this guy and this guy, they'd have a great match. You don't need to build up to it. There's no storylines attached to it. You can just go out there, wrestle, you know, and then your rookie talents, they can go against veterans. Just an example to showcase both sides and for people to learn. So fair shows are great. And ultimately, you know, it's a guaranteed attendance because, I mean, how many times have you gone to a fair and if somebody was building a ring, you weren't just like, okay, well, I got to check this out. You know, good or bad, a wrestling show will gather gather the attention of the patrons of that fair. So, speaking of the fair, because of course we've been talking about it this entire episode so far. So, why didn't I get the interview with Stacy Shadows this week? Well, I got lost. 26 years old. I'll be 27 in August. I'm a grown-ass man. And I got lost in a fair. That's a true story. I get to Port Washington roughly about noon. Get there at noon. Pretty good on time because the show was going to start at 1:30. Figured, okay, I'll get to the actual ring and find Stacy. We'll do this interview, knock it out of the park, and then she can get back to figure out what she's doing for a match. So first off, find some parking, because of course, you know, the whole Port Fish Days They basically have like part of the city like sectioned off for this, which is awesome. You just, it's a big space. It's not just that it was part of the marina and then they just did that. No, it's, there was a lot of sections there. So it was plenty easy to get lost, of course. So I get parking. I have to kind of make my way through the parade route to get to the actual park. I'm looking at my GPS. Obviously, I don't know Port Washington anywhere near as good as somebody that lives there. And, of course, I mentioned the ring was by the main gate, so why didn't I see it when I walked in? Well, I took the other entrance because my GPS was telling me it was kind of further north. So, didn't even go in the main gate. So, there's strike one. I go there. I'm looking at the event page. It says it's at the Upper Lake Park in the family zone. So I'm asking around left and right, where's the family zone, the Upper Lake Park? How do I get there? Where's the directions? I'm up there, and I spent 30 minutes up at the Upper Lake Park, walking around the area. I am seeing no wrestling ring, and I'm thinking to myself, of course, this should not be this hard to find a wrestling ring in an open field. But of course, it's really hard when you're not even in the right section. So of course, lesson learned, instead of asking where the section is, I should just ask where the show was, because ultimately they had moved it down the marina. So lesson learned there. But either way, it was a fun time. End up getting there 10 minutes or so before the show started. So thankfully didn't miss anything. It just missed the opportunity to interview Stacey Shadows, but we'll see each other here in the next couple days, so not the end of the world. What I do have for this week, I have an interview with Sierra. As I mentioned, she kind of got her start at Port Fish Days. That was kind of one of the first shows she got to see as somebody that wanted to get into professional wrestling. So it's more perfect anyway. It's more fitting for this week. And ultimately, we'll talk about, you know, how she got in the business, why she bailed on her dad's birthday to become a wrestler. It's not as bad as you think, but stay tuned for the Spotlight Squared Circle coming up in a couple moments, not a couple minutes, because that's way too much time, but in a few moments, the Spotlight Squared Circle with Sierra, and you'll be able to understand how she got into wrestling and neglected her father at the same time.
Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Ruden, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners. This is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up the Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex and... Uh-oh. Looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
We are sitting down with Sierra from the Thumper's Den Academy here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Sierra, thank you for doing this interview.
Thank you for having me.
So, fun fact, because we talk about it all the time that we ever talk about you, is you're in high school. You're a senior. You just graduated, actually.
Yes, just graduated.
So, just graduated from high school, and, you know, a lot of people might see you and like, oh, you know, she's pretty young, but man, she's really, you know, good in the ring. So, she must have been doing this a while. So, when did you start wrestling? When did you get in the business?
I started training when I was 15 years old. I was with Bruce City 2 months prior to when I first started training. I started Bruce City in January, worked as like the merch girl and stuff. And then in March, Frank was like, hey, you wanna train? Cause I told him a while ago, like, hey, I'm interested. Becoming a professional wrestler. It's like, okay, cool. And then it wasn't until March when he asked me if I wanted to start training. So that's when I started.
So Frankie DeFalco asked if you want to, you know, start doing this, you know, go from merch girl to, you know, wrestler. What does mom and dad say when your 15-year-old Sierra is like, hey, I want to start training?
They knew for a while that I was interested in wrestling. I don't remember when I told them, like, I wanted to start training, but they were supportive of me, just, like, with everything else, with, like, all the sports I played and stuff.
Sure.
And, then when I started training, like, once I kind of was like, hey, he's going to let me train and stuff, they kind of became, like, questionable, I guess. They're like, oh, okay, like, cool.
Well, they got to see you start bumping around, just kind of like, oh, that's my girl, kind of getting thrown around like a rag doll.
They didn't know how long it would last because of how really physical it was and stuff. And then by the time I, like, made my debut and then had my first match, and they kind of saw that I was in this.
They kind of simmered down a little bit?
Yeah. They're like, oh, she's actually doing this. She's part of this now. Then they became my number one fans.
Absolutely. I think it's always interesting, like the it's almost like the five stages of grief, you know, where there's like denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance.
Yeah.
But like there's always like that stage of like parents having their kids get into wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, you have like the, oh, it's just a phase.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah, this
That's
isn't gonna
what they thought it was.
This isn't gonna be a long term thing.
Yep.
You know, you're blah, blah, blah. Like, they just make all these, like, reasonings. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, if you want to do this, why don't you do this instead?
Yeah.
And there's, like, almost that. And then it's, like, once you actually start, like, almost, like, a month in, it's kind of like, okay, he's actually kind of, you know, he or she is actually kind of doing
this.
They
definitely thought it was, like, kind of a phase. Like, they thought I just liked wrestling so much. Like, oh, I want to be a wrestler.
But, sure.
And they thought it was, like, a phase of me actually wanting to train. Now I'm here.
Yeah. Were your parents, like, divided at all? Because, like, I know, like, my dad, he was the guy that's like, this isn't going to benefit you in the long term. But my mom was like, she couldn't take me to enough shows. Like, if it's like, you know, if there were shows happening, like, in the area, if I could go to training or something like that, she'd always drive me there because obviously I didn't have a car at the time. And then even just like, hey, so there's a show in the Twin Cities that I can go, like, rough at. And like, let's go. So were they divided, or was it kind of like they were on a united front?
I heard something from my mom that it was my dad that was kind of questioning it the most. But from what I believe, I think my mom was completely for it. She actually came to some of my first trainings and kind of watched and hung out. But I think my dad was kind of more doubting it than my mom. But then I think he just got on the same page. He was the one that would
take me. He got in line.
Yeah. He was the one that would take me to the wrestling shows, and he enjoyed wrestling, like, just as much as I did. But he was the one that was kind of like, I don't know if, like, this is just a phase. I don't know what she's going
to
do.
Like, yeah, it kind of hits, like, close to home a little bit when it's, like, it's one thing to like wrestling. It's it's one thing to like baseball or football or something like that, but to actually, like, play it.
Yeah.
You know, especially wrestling, because, like, football and baseball and all that crap, you can do that in high school and get ready. Yeah. But, like, wrestling, that always seems like the far away one.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
how do you do this?
Like, exactly.
How do you get started?
So you said that your dad's a fan. You obviously grew up being a wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. So, like, did you grow to like wrestling because of your dad, or was it kind of like that you were just a fan of wrestling and it was unrelated that your love of wrestling came from your dad? Or
my dad was the bigger fan. My mom was like a fan of like The Rock and stuff. Like, she wasn't really too into it, but she'd like watch it just for The Rock sometimes.
So she was the wrestling fans. Like, she knew the big stars. So basically the equivalent of like, oh, my mom doesn't like Pokemon, but she knows who Pikachu
is. Exactly. Okay. They watched it. My parents would watch it apparently all the time when I was younger, but it wasn't until I was like 11 years old when I kind of caught on to it. And, like, noticed, like, what I was watching.
Sure.
And then that's when I, like, was hooked onto it.
So what got you hooked? Like, what was the moment that you saw in wrestling that you're like, I want to do this?
I don't think it was, like, a moment. I think it was just everything at once. Like, I remember, because at the time, I only knew about WWE. I didn't know about, like, independent wrestling and stuff. And I thought it was just WWE. And at the time, like, I was obsessed with the WWE Divas. Like, I'd sit on my laptop and I'd watch all their matches.
Okay.
Like, I was so knowledgeable on every WWE Diva there was, like, because that's all I knew at the time was WWE. So I became, like, obsessed with them. And, yeah, I think I didn't know about independent wrestling until probably over a year later after when I started, like, really watching it.
Okay. So you watch all the Divas, you got hooked into wrestling when you were 11, so you said that you started, you found out about independent wrestling, mainly Brew City Wrestling, so how did that work out? Did you find out about BCW? Did your parents like, hey, there's wrestling in town that we should go to? Because that was how my mom got me into wrestling. It was just like, you know, we were at a festival in Onalaska, and it's like, hey, we're going to a fair, and they have wrestling there, so you can go too. And like, okay, I guess I can go.
There, it was on my dad's birthday, and we're having a birthday party with some of my like close relatives came over, and he's like, "Oh, Sarah, there's a wrestling show at Oak Creek Lions Fest." He's like, "You and my friend Sarah should go," and I was like, "Oh, okay. Like, are you sure? Like, it's your birthday party. I don't want to like leave." He's like, "Oh no, my mom and like my aunt, and my grandma were like mad at me." They're like, no, like, you have to stay. It's your dad's birthday.
Right.
But my dad was, like, pushing me to go. He's like, no, go. Here's some money if you want to, like, buy, like, some food or whatever. Like, he was pushing me to go. And I'm like, okay.
It's kind of interesting that your dad, the birthday boy, was like,
leave my party. Like, no, he's like, go have fun or whatever. And so I went with my friend Sarah. And that was
Sarah Squared goes
Sarah
to
Square, that's
to Oaks Creek.
That's what we were called in high school. That's funny. We went, and that was my first Brew City show.
So then did you just talk to Frank right after the show? Like, hey, this is something I'd like to do kind of thing. And you just like, well, we'll have you come to shows and do merch.
Yeah, I found some of the wrestlers. Like, on Facebook because I was friends with one of them. And then it kind of led to like...
Who were you friends with on Facebook?
His name was Drew. He was that other teenage boy.
He was the other teenage boy.
There was a teenage boy here, like my age at the time, that was wrestling.
Okay. So you were friends with Drew before...
Yes, before all of it, because my friend Sarah was like, a long time ago, he was like, oh, there's this kid that like wrestles in Milwaukee, like Waukesha or whatever. And we found him on YouTube and it was just like, oh, this is cool or whatever. And then found him on Facebook, became friends or whatever.
Sure.
And then after became friends with him, like I noticed like, oh, people you may know, because like mutual friends or whatever, like Frankie DiFalco and like all these people. And then I added him. It wasn't like a few months later that I messaged him about wrestling.
Okay.
And told him, like, hey, I'm interested.
Oh, so you messaged him after?
Yeah, after the show.
Not immediately at the show, met him and talked to him in person. You talked to him on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook first.
You're such a millennial.
What?
No, so was it kind of a thing you didn't put two and two together that, like, you were friends with this Drew guy who you knew... You know, through the high school grapevine that he was a wrestler, but then you like went to this Oak Creek show and you weren't like, oh, is Drew gonna be there, or were you just you saw him there like, oh my god, that's right,
yeah, I saw him and I was like, wait a minute, that's that kid that is on YouTube, like, whoa, this is kind of cool, and it just all came together.
So then, were you the fangirl at the next day in school and like, oh my god, Drew, I saw you wrestling, I was there.
Kind of. Well, he went to like some other high school or whatever, but I was. It was just kind of in that moment, like, hey, that's that kid. Like, oh my god, that's okay. So cool.
So okay, so you went to Oaks Creek. You obviously been there, you know, now wrestling. Is that kind of weird to kind of go to the show where it kind of all began for you, just like, you know, to be on one side as like a fan being pushed out of your dad's birthday party to being like, oh, now I'm wrestling here.
Every time we go there, I think this will be the third time that I've been to Oak Creek Lions Fest. It's just weird because I'm like, I was in the crowd just watching, and now I'm like, I'm part of the show. And I always say that about like certain shows or like venues or something, like,
yeah,
if I went to a show as a fan at a certain venue and I'm going back as like being part of the show, I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird, like, in the moment, like, yeah, when you think about it, it's like, oh wow, like it's kind of weird to think about, you know. It's something that's just like, it's second nature, but then when you actually sit down, it's like, man, like X amount of years ago, I was a fan seeing this, and now I'm here in the ring.
Exactly. It's weird. Like, it's really cool and weird at the same time.
So obviously you're doing more than BCW because, mm-hmm, you know, you're one of the students, of course. So you're here at BCW quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you're wrestling a lot. You know, you're here in Illinois a lot for like Gali Lucha Libre, mm-hmm, for Premier Pro. You're going to be doing a couple shows there. You've done stuff for Steel Domain in Minnesota, RWA. The list goes on. Like, you're getting your name out there, which is pretty cool for, you know, someone your age to be able to do that at such a young age. Yeah. So talk about Gali Lucha Libre, because you were just had a huge show that they had, a huge festival show. So how was that for, you know, for someone of your, you know, at such a young career to be able, like, oh, I'm here at a fest with like X amount of people, which is like, what is a couple thousand, right?
It was packed. We were it was a street festival, and
I was gonna say it looked kind of like a block party.
Yeah, almost. They shut down like a whole road for us, and when we got there, I hopped out of the car and I'm like, oh, I went up to one of like the security people. I'm like, oh, we're here with the wrestling. Like, where do you want us to set up? She's like, oh, you're going to be right here pointing to the map. We were dead center in the middle of the road. Cool. So we set up everything, like the festival starts, people start filling the street. The show starts. I'm second. I walk out there, and it wasn't until I got up on the turnbuckle and like looked at the crowd, like, how many people were there.
You're like, oh my god, this is weird.
I hopped up, I looked up, and I'm like, oh my god. I had to like just kind of stand there for a moment, just take it in, because like, this is a lot of people. Both ends of the road were filled. Like, right. I don't know if like everyone down there was watching, but it felt like it, and it was such a cool feeling.
Yeah. And then you got to actually wrestle one of the other BCW trainees as well. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of weird that like you're kind of, I think Nick, Jesse, and I have said this once or twice, but it, like, you know, back in the day, you basically, for the female talent in the Midwest, it was Stacy Shadows, Melanie Cruz. Mm-hmm. That was it. Yeah. And then you start training, and then all of a sudden it was you, Lena DeOro, Ashley Madison, who's now in Ohio.
Yes.
But, like, you know, it's you, Lena, Ashley, Vanessa. You know, just like there's that huge influx of not only women talent, but young women talent, mm-hmm. who can obviously, you know, start young and then branch out while they're young and learn all the bads, get all the rookie stuff out while they're young. Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, they're X amount of years old, so it's whatever. But in reality, it's like once you hit like that 22 point, you're just like, you know, I've been in for like 5 years now, like no big deal. And just like, what? How old are you?
Yeah, right.
So is that weird though? Kind of almost be like part of like that flagship for the for like the women's division here in the area. Kind of that new influx of that generation.
I think about every once in a while. Like I notice like that. Hey, like when I joined, and then it was like a year later, then all these girls started showing up and stuff. Like I give a lot of it to being that we have like an actual like school now.
Right.
So I think everyone, all those girls that were hiding wanting to be a wrestler can now be a wrestler and stuff. But I think about that sometimes, like, wow, that's like what would have happened if I like didn't join? Would there be like, I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah, it is weird because like you said, like, you know, it was basically Stacy Shadows and Melanie, mm-hmm. and then it was you, and then all of a sudden everybody, all the young women wrestler, aspiring women wrestler came out of the woodwork. So you know, you were definitely in the dead center of it all. So I think it's interesting too, because, you know, you're still in high school doing all this stuff, learning the ropes, mm-hmm. and, you know, wrestling here and there. You've got covered on Fox, you know, with a couple features and everything. You got to wrestle in your high school, which is awesome.
Yeah,
That's something that I wanted to do. I always wanted to be like, I always wanted to get wrestling at my high school, and even my principal was a wrestling fan, so I was like, oh, this is money in the bank. Like, this is a guarantee.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of the realization, like, well, it's a little bit more, to, you know, money to run on a Saturday, and like, oh, okay, screw it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. But, no, what is that like for you to not only have people like, oh, yeah, you know, serious, yeah, she wrestles, something like that, just like the high school grapevine, but then, like, to actually be able to wrestle in your high school, and it's one thing for people to just hear it, but then be able to see it like in their high school.
Yeah, it was when I first started, I kind of kept wrestling myself because I'm
it's kind of a weird thing to like broadcast.
Yeah, I'm a person that like doesn't like being judged. Like it just like I always feel like people are judging me, and it like just it's horrible. So I kind of kept wrestling to myself, like, didn't share, like, the events or whatever. And then Instagram is, like, my big thing, like, most up-to-date with, like, wrestling and stuff. Like, I have everything on there from every show.
Mm-hmm.
And I started posting pictures of me, like, in training, taking bumps. Me and my, like, debut, which is actually 2 years ago.
Years ago. Wow.
Where I got Stacy had that open challenge, and I accepted that stuff. And then started noticing, like, my friends started to, like, notice it.
Sure.
Like, they'd ask me, like, oh, like, you're wrestling. Like, my closest friends knew about it because they'd always be like, hey, you want to do this? But, like, sorry, I got training. Like, I'm wrestling training, but...
sorry, I'm competing for the women's title.
Right. But to have it... It started getting around, like, not really many people asked about. Like, they'd be like, oh, like, you're that wrestler, right? Like, you wrestle. I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, that's cool. Like, okay, like, they're not... Because I know some people, like, thought it was kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could just tell. Like, they were just being nice to me and saying, like, oh, that's cool, but...
And it's like, oh, yeah. And then they turn around and like, that's...
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I could just tell, like, oh, you do that figure thing still. Like, yeah, shut up.
And then you chop them and then...
Yeah, exactly. Like,
ow, that hurt.
Yeah. Like, no. But I think I was super nervous when Frank pitched the idea, like, hey, let's have a benefit show at your school. Like,
sure.
Like, oh, God. Like, now my whole school, like, the freshmen I won't even, like, talk to are going to see this. And it took some courage to, like, get in front of my whole school and announce what's happening, like, what this benefit show is for, like, what it even is. But people were asking about it more. They were like, oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. Like, I want to get tickets. What, blah, blah, blah. Ask me all these questions about wrestling and stuff.
I was like, I'm studying right now.
Yeah, wow. Right. Like, there's the poster on the wall. There's all your information you need.
It's all big time here.
Right? but when it came to the show, it was just more of those nerves of, like, I get to wrestle in front of all my family, because all my family showed up for that. Because mm-hmm. it was in town. All of my teachers, all of, like, the school staff.
Some of your teachers got involved.
Yeah, too. And every student that bought a ticket, and there was over, like, 200 students that bought tickets. And
it was a packed house.
Yeah. The first time, both times were packed. And after the first time, I kind of got more, like, relaxed with the idea of, like, saying.
The first one's over. Everybody knows. Yeah. It's not like you can keep it a secret.
Yeah, anymore. I know. It's out of the bag now.
Hey, you're that wrestler, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right? Like, no.
But you have the belt with you right now. No, yeah. Somebody else.
But it was also really cool. And after the match, when it was over, like, I could not control any emotion that was in me. I just was crying. And I could not. I think it was just because I got to do that.
Yeah.
And it was something really cool and special for me to, like, be able to show these my peers and friends and all that stuff. And it was just one of those really cool moments that, like, I now get to say I did and I will forever have. Like, I got to wrestle in front of all my friends in my high school.
The best part about that is, you know, being able to train in high school and, like, you have the people that are kind of, like, meet what you're saying with, like, kind of a little bit of, like, a weird reception. It's gonna be it's the funny part about that is that, like, in a couple years, maybe not in Milwaukee because it's a bigger town, but, like, for me in La Crosse, like, when I started training in, like, my senior year, and, you know, I had the people that were the same. They're just like, oh, that's cool. They're like, oh, fucking loser.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you'd see them a couple years later when they've, you know, when you realize that they were kind of like, they hit the peak of their, their popularity, and now they're just doing crap.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, you still wrestling? Yeah. I was like, oh, that's really cool, man. Yeah, congrats. And I was like, yeah, fuck you, buddy.
Right? Yeah. Well, look what I'm doing. Where are
like,
you?
I'm living my dream, and you're not.
Yeah, you're there.
Hey, how's that high school football thing going for you? Now you graduated.
Yeah.
And you just go heel on them.
Isn't that record broken already? Like, yeah.
It's like, hey, remember when you were, like, kind of a big deal? And
Exactly.
So, you've gotten to do a lot of cool stuff. You got to wrestle, you know, in your high school twice. Mm-hmm. You got to wrestle in a cage, which is also pretty cool, you know, because not many people get to do a cage match.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a rarity. It's like the same thing with a casket match or, like, a Hell in a Cell or, like, all the matches that, like, the WWE takes for granted. And mm-hmm. it's, like, an independent scene. It's like, we can't afford that.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, you cross a bunch of stuff off your bucket list at this point at such a young age. So I guess what's kind of next on your bucket list? Like, what's something that you're trying to realistically obtain, hopefully in the next year or two?
In the next year? I have some, like, promotions that I want to be a part of and mm-hmm. work on one of their shows.
Want to send any names or you just want to keep it bleak?
Shimmer.
That's a good one to have it.
Oh, who's AIW, like, has their, like, girls' night. Like, all those, like, pretty much, like, girl, like, kind of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all female shows. Like, there's, I want to definitely
Girl Fight in Indiana.
Yeah, I am on that.
You are on that.
In August, which I was really excited for. Got to check that off the list, too. I want to reach out to just any state. Like, any state that I haven't been to already. In the next year, yeah, that's the goal.
You want to be that person that it's like on Facebook, oh, these are all the states I visited, and then you have like three left.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I always see the Viking War Party always post that. It's like, oh, it always blows my mind because, you know, in, like, they're all over the frickin' country.
Yeah.
And then Jake Parnell, for example, like, he's like, oh, I've never been to Wisconsin. They're like, how's that a thing? Because mm-hmm. he's literally been to every state around Wisconsin, but then that one's just white because he hasn't been there. It's like, how is this a thing?
Right, yeah.
So Shimmer, Girl Fight, Girls Night Out for AIW. I guess wrapping things up here, actually, I got one last question for you. you know, I mentioned people going across the Midwest. Team IOU, Kerry Offal did this, and I stole this from him because it was a really interesting kind of idea. Your personal Mount Rushmore. So your four people, you know, men or woman that you're like, these are the people that you kind of, you know.
Work?
Not that you work. That's your bucket list. Like, yeah. your four people that kind of shaped who you are as a character now.
Okay.
So who are the four people that you watched in wrestling? Who are the Mount Rushmore for Sierra?
Like, right now, I'd say the four females that have inspired me. Kimberly, who's now in NXT, mm-hmm. WWE. I had this list. I know what Kimberly was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Three more.
I know. There's so many. Like, all these girls are so inspirational. Thunder Rosa, mm-hmm. I've worked her twice, and she's always an inspiration to me, always inspiring.
While you're thinking of the other two, I think it's interesting because you mentioned Thunder Rosa. Obviously, you and GPA usually pal around. Like, he's always catching your photos.
Oh my god! Photoshopping me.
It's interesting that, like, you know, you have like these two relationships with two people that, like. I mean, they could be working, or this could be a real thing, but, like, it always seems like anytime they post when they're next to each other, they just hate each other.
Yeah.
Or they're just annoyed of each other. Yeah. Maybe annoyed is more of the... So it's interesting that you have this great relationship with, like, both of them, but in reality they have, like, this, like, annoyed relationship with each other. So.
Yeah, he's always photoshopping my pictures into things. Why? It's maybe funny to you. What is happening?
I mean, guys, it could be worse. He could be photoshopping a lot worse. You know, he could be photoshopping you in really, really awkward situations.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hey, fuck you, kid.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got two more on your Mount Rushmore.
Oh, my goodness.
For those keeping track, it's Kimberly and Thunder Rosa.
From WWE that I always loved watching, Michelle McCool.
Okay.
Because I thought she was good. Like, and I loved her character, and I kind of she inspired some of the millennial attitude, like just some of the sassiness, like her.
I can see that.
Her lay cool stuff, like I watched them and kind of inspired me. But Michelle McCool I enjoyed watching when I was like 11. And one more. Oh my god. I'm trying to think who I've been watching. She's in Stardom right now. Toni Storm.
Okay.
She's gonna be a part of the Mae Young Classic. Like, I've been watching a lot of her stuff with Stardom.
Okay.
Been kind of like watching, like, especially with like her chaining and stuff. Like those, like, kind of been wanting to like get some stuff off of her.
So Kimberly, mm-hmm. Thunder Rosa, mm-hmm. Michelle McCool, mm-hmm. and Toni Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good Mount Rushmore, I'd say. So wrap things up, how do people get a hold of you on the social medias?
My Twitter is @RealSierra_, real in caps, because that's all they had left. My Instagram is @Real.Sierra, that's all under lowercase. Facebook, my Sierra Facebook page is @ProWrestlingSierra.
By the way, thank you for finally putting a link, because
every time
trying to tag just Sierra, and of course,
like,
you know,
different people
just one name, and of course it'll be like Sierra blank,
whatever,
Sierra whatever last name.
No, I realize that you can actually do that. I'm like, this might make things easier for everyone.
Oh, it makes it 1,000 times.
I think that's it. My Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Perfect. Well, Sierra, thank you for doing the interview.
Thank you.
And there you have it. Sierra, one of the young... 3, 2, 1. There you have it, folks. My interview, my spotlight in the squared circle with Sierra. You know, a great interview. Had a lot of fun doing it. She's doing so many good things. She's wrestling here in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois. And who knows, maybe once she hits that 1-8, maybe she'll get looked at on the national scene, on national TV with Ring of Honor. She's already paying her dues by doing the ring crew work with the rest of the Thumper's Den, so the sky's the limit. And of course, that's the ultimate goal. So really nothing but good things to say about Sierra. I love the millennial gimmick that she's doing, where she just comes out with her phone and that's the most important thing in her life. I love it so much because I love how much people hate it. And that's how you know things are working. You know, she did a promo shot with the RCCW Heartbreakers Championship. And of course, you know, it's on her shoulder. And of course, you think that the champion should be, you know, so proud to have that belt. And here she is on her phone texting. And oh my God, the butt hurt from the RCCW fans when they saw that photo. Was perfect. Perfection. Love it. And that's why that gimmick is great. So keep an eye out for Sierra. You can follow her on her social media accounts that she listed in the interview. And also forgot to mention in the beginning of this, you know, following our social media on Grapple Talk, on the Grapple Talk Network. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and stay up to date on shows happening in the Midwest on our Facebook and results from our Twitter. And of course, you can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. Great interview from Jordy Lee with his buddy Joey the Jet Avalon. And of course, Nick and Jesse this past week on Grapple Talk, talking about the G1 Climax, the G1 Special, everything with Great Balls of Fire, and just random comic book BS. You know, all of it was great. It will definitely be a good way to spend the time, as it were. Of course, the Riley Factor is a part of the Grapple Talk Network, so supporting this supports the network, and I thank you for that from me to you. Well, before I get out of here, make sure to follow me on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and also check out my ProWrestlingTees.com store. And here, look at some of the places I will be in the next couple of weeks.
Upcoming shows.
Thankfully, I'm not getting sick of the Milwaukee area, because even though I am driving back there now to La Crosse, I'm going straight back there on July 21st, BCW at the Knights of Columbus in West Dallas, Wisconsin. And then the next day, going to ACW at Tanner's in Kimberly, Wisconsin. Not scheduled to compete on that, but ultimately got friends that are on the show, and you gotta support. You gotta support your friends in independent wrestling, because that's the dream. You know, if you want your friends to support you, you gotta support your friends. That's the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. That's the actual golden rule. And of course, the next week after that, July 29th, WPW at the Stadium View in Green Bay, Wisconsin for Stadium Mania 4, their fourth installment of WPW's WrestleMania in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Great venue of Stadium View Bar and Grill. It's just across the street from Lambeau Field, the iconic Lambeau Field. Maybe I'll try to get there early and do a tour of Lambeau. It's been a while since I've been up to Green Bay in a visitor's capacity. And then the next week after that, RCCW, August 4th, the American Legion, Post 52 in La Crosse, Wisconsin, my hometown. Day after that, who knows? Maybe I'll go to Pro Wrestling Battleground, St. Paul, Minnesota. Not 100% sure on my scheduling for that. It all depends on if I got some to ride with. And that's the thing, too. Support your friends with your friends. Week after that, ACW again. Might try to make it out there. New job. And ultimately, I'm working until 4. And it's tough. You know, but at the same time, ACW does great things at the Oshkosh Masonic Center. That is where they will be on August 11th. So make sure that if you're in the area, go check them out. Maybe I'll see you there. But that's a look at the upcoming shows happening for me on my schedule. Again, the Riley Factor, part of the Grapple Talk Network. So make sure to follow us on our social media accounts. Check out Jordy Lee's show, Deet and Jet. Make sure you check out Jordy Lee's show, Deet and Dash. And, of course, you take care of the flagship show. You give them a listen. You give Nick and Jesse a listen with Grapple Talk. Because their rants are just, it makes the show. And that's the important thing. AC Rado for the Riley Factor. Episode 2 in the books. Have a great rest of your day. Great rest of your week. Support independent wrestling. And we will see you next time, right here on The Riley Factor.